Hello, everyone. Welcome to Parkside Today. I'm Oliver Johnson. It's my pleasure to welcome Dr. Penny Leiter, an associate professor of health, exercise science, and sport management here at UW-Parkside. Dr. Leiter received her PhD in curriculum and instruction from UW-Madison, and she has earned several degrees prior to that. Her HESM 321 Women's Health Issues course worked with the Women's Resource Center in Racine on a project that was later acknowledged as the UW-Parkside Outstanding Community-Based Learning Project of 2017. In 2001, she earned the Health Achievement Award from the Wisconsin Alliance of Health, and she also received the Stella C. Gray Teaching Excellence Award in 1997. Dr. Leiter was recently awarded the 2019 Sister Joel Reed Civic Engagement Practitioners Award, a state-level recognition awarded by Campus Compact, and for which she was nominated by campus colleague Deborah Karp, a director of community and business engagement. Dr. Leiter, welcome to Parkside Today.
Thank you, Oliver. I appreciate being here.
What does receiving the 2019 Sister Joel Reed Civic Engagement Practitioners Award in recognition of your efforts and contributions mean to you?
Well, I was very humbled by the nomination in general, and even more so when I found out that I received the award. There are a ton of individuals who are doing pretty impactful projects and work throughout our campus as well as throughout the state. So, I think for many of us, we don't do it for the awards. We do it for our students or for our community or for our campus. So I was very humbled by it, and I was very honored, especially since as I was reading a little bit more about Sister Joel Reed, I was like amazed at all the things that she had accomplished, and knowing that our campus in particular was one of the main campuses involved in the creation of the campus and of the Wisconsin Campus Compact. Jack Keating was very involved. He was a former chancellor, as well as Esther Letvin. So I just feel like it was a great honor, and I was impressed that I could be honored in that way.
And you were honored for this award at the annuals award dinner held in conjunction with the Civic Engagement Institute at Alverno College in Milwaukee. At the Sister Joel Reed Center. What was that experience like for you?
It was really a nice experience. Again, it happened to be in the center of which the award was named after her, so that was pretty spectacular. And also, I was blessed to have our community and business engagement team members there, so everyone from our office came and supported me, which was phenomenal. And my husband also attended. So it was very nice to have such a strong support system. And we had a very strong showing from UW-Parkside at the dinner.
And good company. Speaking of good company, Parkside, I mean, itself, you're in great company on our campus because so many faculty and members of our community make that conscious effort to remain involved and support our communities. How do you describe one of the ways of doing that is community-based learning? And how do you describe what that is to someone who is unfamiliar with the concept?
Community-based learning, in my opinion, is a win-win-win environment. And that is when the campus works with community partners and the instructors from the campus actually work with the students from their classes in a co-educator situation. So in other words, it's a way to have our students be involved in real-world problems, in real-world situations, and really are able to apply that content that they're learning in the class to an actual experience or an actual project and get to know a little bit more about our community and hopefully be able to provide some assistance either for or with the community partner. Hopefully it helps our partners get some benefit from our students, and in many occasions it might be a product or a service. And also I think it helps the connection of our campus to be more involved in our local communities. And it's not only local with Kenosha and Racine being clearly the two biggest ones, but we have partnerships in Milwaukee, even out of this area a little bit, depending upon where the project is located.
And so students, you said students also benefit and the campus. What are some of those examples of the value that students and the university as a whole benefit from?
So the students in general learn a little bit more about important community issues. It contributes to a valuable service, hopefully, to the organization or partner they're working with. It can actually add to their resume or portfolio and really demonstrating something deeper than having a degree or having taken courses. It also provides them with opportunity to develop leadership skills, management skills, having an understanding more of cultural issues depending upon the organization or the project that they're working with. It allows students to make valuable professional contacts. Sometimes it leads to internships and or jobs for those students. In many instances, I also know of students sort of changing their course of study or what they want to do. Most recently, I had a student working with me in the Women's Health Issues course, and she was interested in going into healthcare. And then she finally realized that she was going to do nursing. And as a result of this class, one of the key things that she came out of this course was, or this project, was that she now really wanted to focus on women's health issues in nursing. And so to me, that's really what it's all about. It's about helping our students really develop that interest, that connection. You know, we might not be able to cover all the little details of everything about women's health issues. You can't do it in one course anyway. But I guarantee you that the students in that course know a lot more about domestic violence and know a lot more about what it means to be involved in working with individuals who are survivors of domestic violence.
And that is life-changing. I mean, really a transformative experience for that student. Do you stay in touch with that student?
I do. I do. She's still a student here. So okay. She is going into nursing, but she's still here. So that's good.
Yeah. Well, with a refined focus reinforcement of a decision she probably had made or begun to make. And that class seemed to really make a difference on that student. The organizations, what are the values of CBL to the organizations, to the communities as a whole?
Well, as I kind of mentioned a little bit earlier, I think that hopefully we provide a service to them. Hopefully either that may come through a project or helping them refine a process or just by having students come and volunteer. So there's different levels of community-based learning and community engagement. Some of it's a little bit more on the volunteer side, and then there's others that are much deeper and a much greater portion of the class where it's a major project. So one of the courses that you mentioned previously, my Women's Health Issues course, it was a major project in the course. And we spent a great deal of time and effort on it, and the students spent a lot more time outside of class preparing for the projects that we were involved in. And one of the things I've also realized is that students are less likely to complain about how much time they spend outside of class if it's doing something they really enjoy or something they find meaningful. You know, if they can attach some meaning and significance to these projects and to the content that they're learning, all of a sudden it's a much, much deeper and enriching experience for them. So I can't speak highly enough of really the importance of various high-impact practices in teaching and learning, but one in particular is when we get our students engaged with our community.
Yeah, I imagine they would take a different level of pride in the work that they do when they're making an impact outside of just, you know, the grade book or what have you. And clearly you must be proud of the work that you're doing as well. As you think back at all of the courses that have engaged in community-based learning or community engagement, what are some of the courses and projects that you are the most proud of?
Oh, that's a really hard question, Oliver. And one of the reasons it's so hard is that I think they're all important, and I feel very proud of all of them. One of the ones that we started with was Health, Exercise, Science, and Sport Management 280 course, which is a sport and fitness nutrition course. And that one I'm particularly proud of because I was just involved in really getting it started and helping to integrate some community-based learning experiences in the course as a part of a grant that we received. And as a result of that, we're able to reach a lot of different students. It is a general education students. It's a pretty popular general education course. And Steph Strauss-Tompkins teaches it, and she does a wonderful job. John Vertigan also has started teaching it recently. And they do a wonderful job of getting students out into our local area and learning a lot more about food insecurities, and again, connecting them with community partners. Another course that's a little bit more of an entry-level course is Intro to Applied Health Sciences, and that's a course that created years ago, and one of the things that we found is that a lot of our students, it's for students going into healthcare, some sort of pre-professional health program, And one area that we learned very quickly is that they don't often know a lot about diversity aspects. And so I wanted to get them out into the community so they could learn a little bit more about diversity aspects. And so we embedded just a very brief, small service learning project in our community. And so they've gone out and they've now met with Racine Healthcare Network, which is a healthcare provider for low or severely low income individuals, those individuals who don't have healthcare for various reasons. They also go out and they provide service to doing screening for our youth in the Prevent Blindness. There's a lot of different areas in which they go into, and it's really enhanced that depth of learning about diversity. And then we cover a lot more of that in class, but we can always refer back to that experience that they're involved with. So we're always, as the course goes on through the semester, we're always coming back to that same topic. Like, what's happening here? We learn a lot about implicit bias. We learn about diversity. We learn about even socioeconomic levels, the health determinants, the social determinants of health. So there's a lot that's tied together to that. I've also been embedding community engagement and community-based learning in an upper-level exercise science course. It's a fitness program management course. And that was a little different because we actually use our campus as our community partner. And our students work together to try to determine what are some of the health needs, what are some of the fitness needs of our campus community, and then what kinds of projects and activities can they actually help provide our campus community. And so they've done various things over the years. They almost always do fitness assessments. They provide exercise classes, and it's available for our faculty, our staff, our students, and even other members of our community if they have a membership to the Sports and Activity Center. So that's another, I think, a really fun one. They've done different scavenger hunts and put on health fairs and all kinds of fun things. So that one I'm always proud of, too, because my students are really engaged on our campus. And then the other one that we already mentioned is very near and dear to my heart, and that's the Women's Health Issues course. They have, every semester, they surpass me and my expectations of what they're going to do. We started off providing exercise classes at the Domestic Violence Shelter, the Women's Resource Center, and Bethany Apartments, both in Racine. And then we went on, we provided a nutritional meal. We cooked at the facility. We ate with them. We provided different arts and crafts, sometimes just sort of therapeutic activities to engage in. We've done fundraising. Every year now for the last 3 years, we've worked with the Women's Resource Center to solicit funds. And there's a local grant called the Webb Foundation, and we've been very successful. First year, we were able to receive $12,000. Last year was $10,000, and then this year it's been another $12,000. This year, my students, oh, thanks. It was really, I mean, and it just goes to such a wonderful cause. And it's nice for to see the students get so excited about what they're doing and really, truly having an impact. You know, like there's something that they can do to make a difference. They also, one of the students, several of the students together got together and thought about creating a GoFundMe page. We raised additional funds in that place, in that location. And then they came up with the idea of providing welcome home containers. So when women and children and sometimes men come to these domestic violence shelters, they come with nothing. I mean, it's often in a state of emergency and they don't really have much. Obviously, if they had much in the way of resources, they probably would be going somewhere else. But because they don't have anything, they often come with just the clothes on their back. And so the goal of the Women's Resource Center, one of the goals is to get them out back integrated into the community on their own, that they are self-sustaining. So some of them leave, but they don't have anything. So they rely on a lot of donated products and donated goods. And so one of the things we thought, well, wouldn't it be nice if they had a container or two that just had all brand new stuff, like cooking utensils and pots and pans and towels and some cleaning supplies. And so we use some of the funds from the GoFundMe page to go out and purchase all of these items and put them all together. And that was really an exciting and fun event for our students too. Another one of the students came up with the idea of making those self-made blankets, the Thai blankets. And so we did that. We went and purchased a lot of the supplies for that and then just sat with these survivors at these facilities and made blankets with them. And then they got to choose and take them home. And some of their kids made them. And that was probably one of the greatest learning experiences for my students, I think they would say, in that they really got to know some of these people as people, mm-hmm. not just as numbers, absolutely. Not just as really victims, but really people, and saw how diverse their backgrounds were, and really, really learned at a much, much deeper level. I'm not sure if that answered your question. I know it's so long.
A lot to be proud of.
Yeah, so they, you know, you set the bar high. I always tell them kind of what we did the previous year, and that I think they always want to rise above it. So it's amazing.
So you mentioned Bethany Apartments and the Racine, the Women's Health Center of Racine, Prevent Blindness Wisconsin, I think you threw in there. You named all these organizations. How do you go about creating these partnerships? Is it because you are yourself involved? Do you seek out organizations that are part of causes that the students express an interest? Or where do these partnerships come from?
Yes and yes, all of those areas and more. Some of the partnerships have been established because I've reached out to them to come in and be guest speakers in my classes. And then you start to find out a little bit more about the organization, and then it might lead to a deeper partnership. Sometimes they are as a result of the community partners contacting our campus and saying, hey, we have this need, and we would like for a student or students or a group or class to help help participate in this. And then sometimes it's faculty members or instructors here who, like, this is a project or this is an idea that I have. This is a class. And then they can contact our community and business engagement office. Amy Garrigan is our specialist in that area, and she does a fabulous job of connecting faculty members with community partners. Deborah Karp is also very instrumental in that. So they have a whole lot of knowledge and connections within our community. We also have a steering committee that supports the community and business engagement area. So they're very helpful in making connections. So it's a combination. Sometimes it might be a student has a particular interest or connection with a topic, and so they may reach out to that organization. So it's really a whole variety of ways in which the connection can take place. One place that we've seen that's very helpful is every year we have a breakfast, and it is coming up here at the end in May. And so faculty and staff can come to the breakfast, community partners come to the breakfast, and then they're able to share a little bit about what the faculty member's looking for, what the class is, and then it's a nice way to connect with some community partners there. So we're really looking forward to that one again.
Great. And you know, we've got some listeners that potentially are interested. Is the breakfast sold out, or is there a way to get
it
in touch?
It is not. You can go to our website. Or you can just contact me at Leiter, LYTER, at uwp.edu, and I'm happy to give you the information for the breakfast and how you can come. It's free. This year it's actually on campus. Since it's our 50th year, we're continuing to celebrate that. We're going to have it right here in our ballroom, and we have it's really an expanded program a little bit this year. So it's a free breakfast and a great way to connect with our community partners and learn a little bit more about what we do as
Wonderful.
Well.
Wonderful. In May. So there's still time.
Yep.
So taking it beyond the classroom a bit, in 2018, you helped develop learning outcomes for CBL courses. And this seems to be a campus-wide initiative, something that you're helping instructors and faculty and across disciplines. Can you tell us a little bit about that initiative, how you became involved, besides clearly you being an expert, seasoned professional in the area?
No, I wouldn't call me an expert, just passionate about it. So I'm actually the interim faculty director for community-based learning. So one of the goals for a long time now, even before I came into this position, was to have a little bit more formal way of designating community-based learning courses. Previously, and even right now, individuals who offer a course that they consider to be community-based learning would contact our office and say, this is what we're doing. And then if we thought, yeah, it kind of sounds like that, then we would list it as a community-based learning course. And we really wanted to make it something a little bit more consistent across the board so that students could be reassured that the courses they're taking are implementing best practices and that they are meeting certain learning objectives and certain learning goals. And so We actually have a steering committee comprised of mostly faculty members and then other members from our office and a student. And so for the course, through the course of last year, essentially we looked at what was previously used for the community engagement certificate. We have a certificate for students, which is a great idea for students to really sort of recognize themselves as having an additional skill or knowledge or interest when they are comparing to other people they're applying for positions. It kind of looks good. They've done something extra. Yeah. So students can participate in that or receive that certificate. So we looked at what those learning outcomes were for that. And then we also looked really more broadly as to what are some of the main goals and objectives that we want our students to achieve by participating in community-based learning. And so we narrowed it down and refined it, and we have an excellent faculty steering committee. So I was very fortunate that we had some real heavy hitters in there who knew what they were doing, and we came up with our learning goals for community engagement. And so that's one of the things that we look for now when individuals apply for a community-based learning designation for their course. Does it meet some of those learning goals? So it's a way, again, for us to make sure that our students are experiencing best practices, because in order for a community-based learning course to be designated, it has to implement reflection. That's a real critical piece that separates just service from really community-based learning. So they're not just serving or not providing service or volunteering. They're actually applying and connecting what they're doing with some learning objectives in the course, as well as what we know to be good practices or best practices. So it's a lot of evidence-based support for it. So it's been a really interesting experience. We now, starting in the fall, all the courses that will be designated as community-based learning, you'll be able to identify that really quickly, hopefully through SOLAR when they're looking for courses to take. And we can be assured that it provides the level of really support and confidence that it's implementing best practices that we know in the industry is indicative of a quality experience for our students and for our community partners. So some of our learning goals for the community-based learning or community engagement are really important components that are good for most any discipline. So it's using effective, inclusive communication methods to promote civic action, local, national, or global context. It's also exercising reasoned judgment through critical thinking to collaboratively address challenges of the local, national, and/or global communities. So as you can hear, it's not just our local community. It's really looking more broadly than that. It's also working effectively within diverse teams to address a community need. So again, we're looking at what's the community need and what can our students provide them with? What can they help them with? And it's not just our students coming in and solving the problem. As I mentioned previously, it's a co-educator experience. So our students are learning from them, hopefully. They're learning from our students, vice versa. And our students are actually getting additional knowledge and experience from our community partners. Demonstrate ongoing social and personal responsibility. Connect and extend classroom learning to engagement outside of the classroom. So they're not just doing it, hopefully, in the classroom, but it expands their interest in it, and hopefully they'll go on and do it beyond. And then promotes inclusive engagement with diverse communities and cultures, which is more important now than ever before.
Yeah, sure. And you know, a lot of those, as you're describing them, they really sound like fundamental skills.
Yes.
That employers are looking for.
Absolutely.
That grad schools are looking for. I mean, and there's more to a college degree than, you know, the job that you're going to get or the next degree you'll get. I mean, it really is an experience, skills that they can take into many experiences beyond the Parkside experience.
Right. It is one of those things, again, that I think provides an enhanced quality of learning experience for our students. You know, we've all had classes where we took the classes and we learned some content, at least for that semester, and then sometimes, like, what did we learn? What did we do? But students who participate in community-based learning, as well as some other high-impact practices such as internships and maybe worksite employment here on campus, whether it be research with faculty members, lots of different high-impact practices, you know, they remember that and it sticks with them. And that's the real quality. That's what makes the difference, not only cognitively, but also affectively.
And the faculty that are involved in this, I mean, we've heard time and again that they benefit as well.
Mm-hmm.
And recently you helped to secure funding to recognize and incentivize faculty who teach CBL courses. How did you achieve that? How did that come to be? What was that motivation behind that? And what has been the impact so far?
Well, it wasn't just me, obviously. I don't do any of this myself. I have a great team as well as a steering committee. And we also have a tremendously supportive administration right now. So from the provost, the chancellor, our steering committee, and throughout our campus, I mean, really one of our foundations of our campus is community engagement. So it was kind of a no-brainer from that perspective. So we actually also really took advantage of some resources that were available through a grant that our campus has received, and decided that, you know, if we want our faculty members to continue to engage in community-based learning, which takes some extra time and energy in advance of the class as well as during the class. And from my own experience, you know, I've had to go to places in the evening, at nighttime, on the weekends, whatever. And that's in addition to meeting as the class. So for some of our faculty members, it's a lot more effort on their part. And we also wanted to make sure that we could start to assess what was happening with our students and the learning experiences. And so we are implementing now, we're creating the assessment plan for those courses. And so faculty members will now be able to receive $500 if their course is designated, they go through the official designation process and then they complete the assessment plan. So it's another way for us to collect ongoing evidence and then to try to work on improving that throughout that knowledge that we receive through the assessment piece of it. So it went through, I mean, we shared it with all of the governance processes, and everyone on our campus, for the most part, has been very, very supportive of it. So this is another way to show our appreciation for our faculty and our staff who do these extra things above and beyond. And again, this is just one of many high-impact practices, but this is one that's our area that we're focusing on, clearly.
Yeah, absolutely. Switching gears just a bit, all of that sounds fun. Something that sounds extremely fun to me as well, some of the work you've done with youth. You have been involved in bringing the Girls Empowered by Math and Science, GEMS, conference to Parkside, as well as developing youth programs like Environmental Explorers. How does that fit into? Does it fit into? How do you have the time to get involved in the youngest spectrum of student or person involved at Parkside?
Well, to me, it's all part of it. I mean, it's part of what I enjoy doing. It's part of what I consider part of our mission of our campus. And that is to really, again, help our community in which we reside, as well as a broader community. And also to really, for example, some of those activities that you mentioned are really working with community partners. The one with the Environmental Explorers was one actually worked with UW-Milwaukee at first. They have a very, very solid program for youth. And so I worked with them to provide really the resources to fund it as well as promote it to really get some of our local youth in the middle school age. We often find in the sciences in particular, about that middle school age is when a lot of people drop off of their interest in sciences, and in particular girls. And so the GEMS as well as Environmental Explorers is all around that middle school age group. They want students to be aware of college campuses, to hopefully set foot on college campuses, to see a little bit more about their community, to be sparked maybe an interest or desire, whether it's math and science or whether it's environmental. Maybe it's going to be social justice around environmental. So to me, I look at it as all a very similar related experience. It's just at a younger level. And hopefully those students will stay interested or see a connection, even if they don't go into it. If it's enough to just keep them interested in some aspect of it, to keep them in school and to keep them thinking about what they want to do in their professional life or even as a civically engaged community member. So those are the fun ones. I mean, it's really fun working with the youth. We took them for the Environmental Explorers. We took them everywhere around the southeast Wisconsin area and all the different environmental and nature centers. Then we focused a lot even on our campus. We went to the Root River Environmental Education Community Center. We spent a day there. We spent a day working with other faculty members. And that was the other real plus, is that the students actually get to work with other faculty members and teachers from a college campus, a university campus. So that's not something that many of them have ever done before. And so it's a real fun thing to do for those groups.
Great. Much of the work that you've done in CBL and in community engagement, with the youth programs, your courses, I mean, I just love to hear the way you describe the world and the way you describe how students can join forces to make a difference, to really bring a heightened awareness around issues. I mean, we've talked about domestic violence, healthcare access, food security, just access to the opportunity to learn. Why is that important to you, Dr. Penny Leiter?
First of all, it's Penny. Thank you. Why is it important to me? I mean, one, that seems like that's why we're here. I mean, as an educator and a concerned citizen, we want our youth to be involved. We want them to be aware. We want them to be knowledgeable. And again, you know, especially our youth today, you know, they have really been brought up in an age much different than the way I was brought up. And with social media and access to information and technology, I mean, they can get the details. They can get the information. We want to help them connect that information, be able to analyze that information, and make it more meaningful. And so providing community engagement and providing these other high-impact practices is a way to really enhance the students' learning experience. We know that based on research that a lot of it indicates that students have a more positive experience. They also feel that it was more valued. They often connect with other students in the classroom in a different way. They make connections with their instructor or faculty member sometimes in a deeper way. And that's really, I think, you know, we try to make a difference. It helps prepare them for their career in the future. You know, it's not when you ask employers what they're looking for, they're looking for a lot of those things that we mentioned are on our learning goals, you know, critical thinkers, and can they work with diverse populations, and are they able to really solve problems? Are they aware of what's going on in the world and the environment? You know, we know that a lot of the jobs that our students are being trained for today may not be there tomorrow. So we have to help prepare them for jobs that we don't even know yet or can't imagine. But we know that if they are good critical thinkers and they can evaluate information and they have good communication skills and they can work with diverse populations, that they'll be good. They'll be good. And those are the things that are more difficult for employers to spend time on. So they can often train people certain topics, but to train them all of that is a little bit more challenging.
That's all the time we have today. We could just keep talking, but that is it for today. Dr. Penny Leiter, thank you. I'm sorry, Penny.
Thank you.
We appreciate the time that you took to talk to us at Parkside
today. Thank you, Oliver.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. Be well.